History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what is going on? Starting dry today. It's after hours, 7 o'clock, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Got James Howell producing, Drew Nixon, and myself, Mac Morey, with you here again, back to back. You guys are lucky enough to get us
2 days in a row. We'll take it.
2 days in a row, 5 hours in 2 days. Just 2 hours tonight here with you until 9 o'clock. Man, I just wish there was something going on in the Chiefs world right now. I just wish it was, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It's the biggest game of the regular season in just a few days. We are on officially hump day. Broncos, we're looking at you in the past. See you later, donkeys. It is officially Buffalo Bills hate week. So for the first 45 minutes or so, we're going to dive into Chiefs stuff, different Chiefs Bills angles, talk some Josh Allen. And then later on, we'll get into Royals. We'll have an out of left field question, and we'll do another draft. We drafted yesterday. We did a draft best current athletes.
Per the request of the text line last night, yes. We are going to follow up with the all-time athletes, right?
All-time athlete draft, yes.
It makes it a little bit easier on us, I think, all-time, it does.
Yes, that'll be, yeah. Because the current athlete, it was like, okay, do I draft LeBron because he's 39? Is Lionel Messi, is that a draft? Like, there were a lot of guys
who were tough.
Yeah, so all-time, a little bit easier. We'll get you guys involved all show. Would love to read your text from the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965, 913-586-7965. So starting off here, we're getting into Chiefs Bills, specifically the Chiefs offense, looking like we might have some reinforcements coming in sorts of Juju Smith-Schuster. Looking like he's expected to play per Jordan Schultz today. He did practice along with Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Omenihu. Pacheco and Omenihu trending
still
probably
good news,
not.
Though,
great news. Great news. Yeah. Three like pretty big pieces coming back, especially with Omenihu and Pacheco. I say just with especially them just because of overall track record. But hey, I can't slight Juju. A massive piece on a Super Bowl team 2 years ago. And then in one game, he actually really was a large piece snap percentage wise. What, 7 catches, 130 yards and a touchdown. So what do you think he brings to this offense? And what does it mean?
In a way, I don't, you know, it's weird to say reliability, I think, in a way, because he's been injured a little bit. You know, he's not oft injured, but he's been injured throughout his time over the last couple of seasons, just in general, whether it's with the Chiefs or not. But I think there's a reliability that he brings, a safety net that he brings, where not that Xavier Worthy isn't capable of making those plays. That's not who Xavier Worthy is necessarily. I would trust Juju to be that guy alongside DeAndre Hopkins where, hey, you need the cross the middle stuff. You need the guy that can fill for, you know, the loss of Rashee Rice, not having Hollywood Brown. He's that reliable weapon that Patrick Mahomes knows and trusts and can go to. And again, not that Justin Watson isn't that guy. Juju's better than Justin Watson is when they're both healthy and ready to go. So for him, it elevates the offense, not to where it can be. We've talked about this multiple times, whether it be last week or last night, in that we know getting Hollywood Brown back, that's where getting Pacheco back, that's the upgrade
to the
offense.
That's the massive jump.
That's where the peak of the offense can be at, but it's an upgrade going into a game that could determine the one seed in some people's eyes, could, you know, continue to keep the undefeated season alive. So I think Juju coming back is big for the offense in the way that you get that reliable weapon back, a guy that can, it can and will impact your team going forward. You just hope that he stays healthy for the rest of the season, because you don't want to have him go back down and then need Hollywood to be that number two guy immediately. I know he's got fresh legs, but you don't need him to jump right back in the fold and be a go-to guy right alongside of DeAndre necessarily right away. Juju provides some of that. He's like the safety net, like the reliable number three guy that isn't going to give you 1,200 yards, isn't going to give you 400 yards. He's going to give you that 700-800 when he's healthy, the reliable target. Let me get the ball to a guy that can catch the ball if D-Hop or Kelsey are not open.
Can sit in the zone.
Juju.
Yeah, reads
that's
the
Juju.
Defense well. Yeah, good on the timing routes. I mean, that's a huge thing for me. You know, we talked about the left tackle situation, and that's maybe the biggest worry on the team right now. Not even maybe. It is the biggest worry on the team, and for a 9-0 football team, there's just not a lot of huge holes. That would be the biggest one on the team. But we kind of talked about, you know, Wanye Morris or Kingsley, whoever they end up going with, or Donovan Smith, if he ends up getting that call and is ready to play per Nate Taylor on Cody and Gold the other day. which you can listen to from 10 to 2 with you there. They need to make that call. We're both in agreement there. But we also said you just need average, right? And I feel like the bar is low like that for the wide receiver room because you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. You can do a lot with less.
And be serviceable.
Juju is very serviceable. He's shown that, you know, near 1,000 yards and was the wide receiver one on a Super Bowl winning Kansas City team just 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. If he can be 75% of that, along with Hopkins, along with Kelsey, with the running back duo with Pacheco coming back, and then you add in a Hollywood Brown, like, the potential for this offense is through the roof. Like, not top five, top one. Like, I truly believe that. And just to have, again, the timing routes, I feel like we haven't had, or the Chiefs haven't had, two guys who have the timing routes down. You know, those little curls, that third and six, hey, I'm going to just, the ball's out and I'm already turning my shoulder. It's in my bread basket. I'm going to catch it. Hopkins and Juju both out there at the same time gives you that.
From the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Be a part of the show. For the 816, I think I agree with this. Juju coming back will also be, you know, that reliable target for Mahomes, but also the defense has to account for that potentially opening up for more DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce. So I think, again, not only is this the reliable weapon for Patrick Mahomes, not only is this the guy that you can go to as the reliable number three option, but him being on the field, you're not... And Xavier Worthy, I think, to an effect, can do this. He's going to continue to grow. Hasn't really been able to do it yet, but Juju can eat up those targets too.
Yes.
Where if D-Hop aren't open or Kelce aren't open, but you're getting the ball to Juju, you have to respect that as a defense. So now that alleviates some availability in a zone for Travis Kelce to go, little five-yard curl route, find the open space like he always finds a way to do and get him the ball. Like DeAndre Hopkins, not doubling him anymore because we need to keep in mind what Juju Smith-Schuster can do as well, what Xavier Worthy can do. Maybe that, like Xavier Worthy, I think fits. Juju coming back might hit, it might help Xavier Worthy even more.
I agree.
Because DeAndre Hopkins already does a great job of taking care of his own and they got to worry about him. Juju coming in and then having to worry about Kelce, that's where you're hitting some of the underneath stuff. You get they've had it a couple of chances with
it. It's been open.
Haven't quite been able to hit the long ball yet.
Whether it's a drop or a miscue.
I think they're very close to being able to get that one deep shot. I don't know if it's this week. I think eventually this season we're going
to
see.
This would be a good week to have it.
We're going
to
see that deep ball. Mahomes will unleash it. He's going to be on point. Xavier is going to run the route, and he's going to be able to track it well, and it'll be caught, and it's going to be like a 75-yard touchdown. Juju can help with that by what he's able to do underneath and through the middle. Along with Travis Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins and what they provide for the offense. It's going to help them out too. I think that text is pretty accurate.
I completely agree. It's three expert possession receivers at that point. You know, three expert guys.
Two Hall of Famers.
Two of which are Hall of Famers, exactly. And they're just move the chain experts. They're sit in the zone experts. They're timing, you know, back shoulder guys. They can do everything in the short to intermediate part of the field. Like you said, opening that up for Xavier. And then, of course, Hollywood Brown, when he does come back, not to mention help out that run game, because again, we talked about it briefly yesterday. That was the first time the ground game for the Kansas City Chiefs offense was stifled. Denver Bryant, and it showed throughout the whole offense. It was the worst offensive performance for Kansas City, which is saying something, because this offense hasn't been lighting up the world all season. Obviously they've had a good last five or so, 6 weeks or so. But against Denver, they, like we said, they stacked the box. They sold out to the run. They started to figure that out. Juju allows you as an offense to say, okay, fine, sell out the run. We have now three reliable options along with, like you said, the backbreaker, number one, 4-2-1, Xavier Worthy.
Kareem Hunt's been getting that workload too. I mean, he's been, I think today they asked Andy about him, 70 carries through three games, through the last three, which is just insanity to think about that. And, you know, is he going to hit a wall and everything like that? Andy, I think it goes to show you who Kareem Hunt is as well. He was like, look, he's not going to ask to get taken out. He's not going to say, hey coach, I'm gassed. Or, I mean, he'll say he's gassed, but that might be a secondary, not worry necessarily, but getting Pacheco back is really, really, really going to help Kareem Hunt, where you're really riding him right now. You've been riding him for the last couple games of, you got to be able to give us 20 carries, 25 carries, because when we run the ball, our offense is so much more effective. I think that is another aspect of the offense where, to your point, Mac, you bring up the ability to open up the passing game a little bit. The run can help to do that also helps out the run game a little bit where, you know, they might play off. They're not just going to load the box as much anymore. Plus the offensive line play, of course, all playing into a factor of it. It's weird because people, I don't think as many people understand that the Chiefs are actually one of the best teams in terms of moving the ball.
Yeah.
Over the last year or two, really, they've been able to do that. Last year, they really struggled in the red zone. They're better this year. That's why I think the offense just as a whole looks better than what they did last year. But they're effective at moving the ball. And a lot of times it's been the 7, 8, 6 minute drives that take a little bit longer. They run the ball effectively well. They get it to 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5. Like, I think they're one of the best teams. I think it was brought up on Sunday against the Broncos. They're one of the best teams in terms of yards to go on 3rd down. They run the ball effectively.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 3rd and 9. It's not 3rd and 8.
Never.
It's not 3rd and 10. It's 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 5. Get those underneath routes. Quick pass. Get the ball to Xavier Worthy. Do a jet sweep. Carson Steele up the middle. Kareem Hunt up the middle. It doesn't matter. You know, get the ball out quickly and just get the 4 or 5 yards. They've been able to progressively work the ball down the field. Even though the offense doesn't look as high flying, it's still effective.
Yeah, 6 games with Kareem Hunt now on the team. 125 carries. That's an average of 20 a game. Had 135 all of last season in 15 games. He's got 125 right now in 6.
Crazy.
So yeah, they are putting a lot of tread on what is already some well-used tires at 29 years old. But again, Pacheco coming back on the way. Did practice today along with Charles Omenihu and, of course, the aforementioned Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju, per Jordan Schultz, looks like he's expected to play. Omenihu and Pacheco maybe another week or two. But again, the fact that they have designated them back from IR opened up that 21-day practice with no means. In the next 3 weeks, all three of those guys are back on this team, and it's one step closer to a fully healthy roster. You know, another good text coming in from the J-Southland Tow Service text line. The 316, hate week. Love it. Let the hate flow through you. Oh, yeah, baby. We're going to let the hate flow through us for the next 45 minutes, 30 minutes or so, talking just strictly Chiefs before we get to some other topics. Coming up next, who's the MVP on this Chiefs team? Not named Patrick Mahomes. There's lots of options, more than you might think. I want to hear your answers. 913-586-7965. 913-586-7965. You're listening to After Hours, James Howell, Drew Nixon, myself, Mac Morey. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on After Hours, kicking it with you for the next hour and 45 minutes. Drew Nixon, James Howell producing the show, myself, Mac Morey, with you, talking Chiefs, Bills. Right now, specifically, just KC, we're going to get to that Chiefs-Bills angle. We're going to talk a little of Josh Allen, kind of who scares you the most, who tightens your sphincter when you think about facing him on a Sunday or in a cold playoff game. Is it Burrow? Is it Jackson? Is it Allen? Is there someone that I haven't mentioned? We'll talk about that coming up next, but right now, who is your MVP on this Chiefs team, not named Patrick Mahomes? I want to hear it from you, 913-586-7965. Because, I mean, we're talking off the air. There's a couple decent answers. You can go a couple different directions. To me, I'm kind of a cop-out because it's not one name.
Oh, what? Okay.
It's the interior.
So you're saying MVPs, not just MVPs.
Well, it's the interior three. The interior three.
Okay.
Now, if you made me choose one individual, I would choose Chris Jones. I would go the other side and just choose defense. But if you're gonna, if I get my way, then I'm choosing the
interior
three.
Somebody else from the text line, I actually said the same thing.
Yeah, there we go. 816. The interior O-line trio. That offense is dead in the water without them. I mean, that's it. That's it. They move the trenches and they make things happen. I mean, again, this run game has been great. Kareem Hunt, revelation. So excited for him, but that doesn't happen without this interior offensive line. And there's been a lot of meat left on the bone. And that's not Kareem Hunt's fault. He just doesn't have that extra gear anymore. He doesn't have that juice. He's 29. Pacheco is going to be ripping off some big explosive runs that this team has been craving. And that is going to be behind 65, 52, and 62.
So I don't want to say like the, I don't want to give like the Chris Jones answer. I don't want to say DeAndre Hopkins, even though I think he's in the conversation.
Wow, D-Hop?
In terms of MVP, yes.
I guess that's...
In terms of what he's done with the offense already,
fair.
Yes.
He's in the conversation. That's fair. That's a decent answer.
Leo Chenal, I think, is an easy one to say yes
Great
as
answer.
Well. Chamari Connor, I think, would be a really good answer.
Even before the block, by the way, for Leo Chenal. Yeah. Even before the block.
Him and Chamari Connor have been all over the place. Yes. If you're talking about underrated players on this team, then those two are the ones that you mentioned first, I think. I'm going to say Trent McDuffie. I know he struggled a little bit against Cortland Sutton, but and Chris Jones, I think you could say him as well. There's one corner that, even though he doesn't have a career pick, not one, but he is the most locked down. I know that last Sunday is his worst game as a pro, you could say. He didn't even want to be talked to after the game so much. He said, hey, look, I didn't play good. I don't know why you guys are talking to me. I think that he has been so good. He's helped out the pass rush just as much, I think, as the pass rush has helped out them previously. Last year, same conversation. Chris Jones got to the quarterback, but they had a little bit of a hard time last year at times getting to the quarterback, where a lot of the sacks were coverage sacks of, it might take you a little bit, but you're going to get there. He's been so good. For this defense, I'm going to say Trent McDuffie. I can understand why you say Chris Jones on the defensive side of the ball. I know you said if you did an individual Mac as well as somebody from the 316 says Chris Jones, dude's been a game wrecker.
100%.
I get it. To me though, I would say Trent McDuffie. The thing is too, I guess the good part of all this conversation is there's not one, there's not two, there's not three, there's not four guys. Like you could pick seven or eight guys, and it actually is like, you know what? Makes some sense. This is one that he's been great, but I don't think he's been as like quote unquote great as other guys. But Matt Araiza, MVP 9 and Patrick Mahomes, he's been really good. Punting the ball, I think it's really hard to say a punter has been your MVP outside
he's
of the quarterback.
He's been fantastic though.
But he's been really good. I mean, Harrison Butker, you could say he also MVP outside of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you just forget about Butker, right? You just kind of forget about him. He's such a sure thing, but you take him for granted. He's the best kicker in the NFL. I know people want to say Brandon Aubrey or Younghoe Koo, or there's a couple other names there, but Bucker's been doing this for 3 or 4 years. Yeah, you got a guy agreeing with you. 913 MVP McDuffie. He's had one bad game, but he's the unsung hero of our defense. I mean,
he just doesn't get the credit nationally that he deserves either. James, who are you saying the MVP is?
I cannot believe neither one of you guys have said it, but I think it's Kareem Hunt.
Okay.
I think you fair. Said the interior offensive line. Kareem Hunt was sitting on the couch when we gave him a call.
I like it.
And he's done nothing but produce.
Sure. I like it. I think
that's fair. Touchdown in every game.
In a way, like James said, it kind of pairs along with your trio is
besides last week, I guess, my fault.
Along with the trio, they've been so good at helping, you know, the run game out as well, where the run game's been the effective part of the offense. I think Kareem Hunt definitely is a really good point from you, James, and as well from the text line. Dude came off the couch and is carrying the load. Literally, the dude has ran again 70 times. He has 70 touches over the last three games. That's crazy numbers. I think Coach Reed said today that he is, through the time that he's been a Chief, he's like second in the league in rushing yards or rushing attempts. Like he's been
crazy
since week four. He's second in the league, only behind Derrick Henry in rushing attempts.
To think that's nuts. That's just nuts to think about. They've been riding him a lot with this offense and his capability to do what he's done. I mean, he's almost in you know, prime form, dare I say. Without him, if they signed him and he actually was washed, I don't think they're undefeated at this point.
I think that's a good point from James, and I agree, and I think the text line obviously got an agreeer there as well. I think that's a good point. I still think the interior offensive line is
a big part of the reason. 100%.
It's the straw that stirs the drink. I think you could have found another body and had them do okay, but Kareem Hunt has been a revelation, and it's a name that we know and we're excited to see back and in good graces from the 913. Hardman has been solid on return game. Didn't see it coming. Yeah, not MVP name worthy, but yeah, I mean, seriously, that's something that this team has just pined for, a just reliable punt returner, returner in general, and he's provided that this season, probably more than he has in any other year. That's really where he's grown, so good for him.
A lot of different players you could say, which obviously, again, is the marker of a good team.
Yes, absolutely. And then from the 816, Andy probably asked him how much tread had left on the tires because he's going to use all of it. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you want a ring, bro? Yeah, let's go.
And Kareem said,
give me everything you have.
He wants that ring. He doesn't have one.
Yep.
He doesn't have that ring. And he feels like, you know, he missed that opportunity given all the circumstances with his departure and all that other stuff. The reason why he wasn't a Chief after, you know, his time the first go around, he missed out. And he wants to get that ring. So,
and few guys get that chance, especially with the same team. So for him to be able to do that is so cool. And not only for him to be able to get that chance to be a part of the 53, but actually be imperative to this team's success the past few weeks, I could agree and get on board with him being the MVP. From the 816, should we get Xavien Howard? Drew, Bengals fan. I know you guys worked him out. You wanted him.
I think on Cody and Gold, even it came up along with in the same conversation as who, like we talked about corner before the deadline. Who's still out there with J.C. Jackson, Xavien Howard at the time? You know, were you mad they didn't go after Tre'Davious White?
No.
Xavien Howard, I think, would be an addition, but a lot of the conversation, I kind of feel the same as what Alex and Cody did about the topic is Coach Merritt, Coach Spags, the secondary has been able to develop so well for guys who get drafted. Najee Johnson had a really good game.
Great game,
really
man.
Really good game on Sunday. I know Joshua Williams has been up and down. Jalen Watson obviously is dealing with the injury stuff.
Jamari Connor, you mentioned in the backfield. Fantastic.
Using the young guys, they've been able to develop well enough going to, you know, Trey McDuffie, Legarius Sneed, like all the guys that you can just insert corner, and he's been able to develop well with Spags as the DC. So I think right now they're fine without, they don't need Xavien Howard like some other teams might need a corner. I don't think the Chiefs are in like dire need of another corner.
I think depth-wise, it would be a really good addition because let's say Najee Johnson does go down, that's panic button time, and it's going to be really tough.
Yeah, because it's Joshua Williams in, who has been hit or miss.
Yeah, hit or miss, and Roland Wallace is still dealing with injuries. See if he can get back. I mean, it's just undrafted guys. It's guys that you probably don't know off the top of your head.
But does Xavien Howard want that, though? Like, does Xavien Howard want a role where he's a depth piece? Well, at one time, he was one of the better corners in the league.
Well, I think you need to make that clear before the signing, obviously. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you're going to be coming off the bench, but also you're going to be really important for us in the film room, in practices, helping these young guys be in the right position and know how to read these plays.
I think that's a similar conversation. Like, the Bengals offered him a deal, but he said no, and I don't know if the money wasn't right or if the role, to your point,
yeah, it could be the role
wasn't right either.
Yeah, well, I mean, that'd be interesting, though. I figure on your team, he'd get more chances.
On the Bengals, agree, yes.
Yeah, I would say so. That's been the secondary that has struggled all season. Talking MVPs, not named Mahomes, lots of good answers from you. We're going to talk now a guy who hasn't quite won an MVP, and I feel as if deserves it. He's the second-best quarterback in my mind, but I don't like him this week. Not a fan of him. His name's Josh Allen. Does he put the fear in your loins like a Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson? Who gets you scared? Who gets you just calling for mommy and daddy? I want to hear your answers. 913-586-7965. Thank you for listening to After Hours. Drew Nixon, James Allen, myself, Mac Morey. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's up? It's Patrick Mahomes, and you're listening to The Home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Going on, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. This is After Hours. James Howell, behind the keys, producing the damn thing. Drew Nixon, myself, Mac Morey, with you for the next 90 minutes or so. Talking Chiefs, talking Bills, talking Josh Allen, QBs versus Mahomes. Who puts the fear in your loins? Who makes you scared? Who gets those goosies going on your arms? Or is it, if you're a Chiefs fan, is it no one? Is this a trick question? Am I tricking you? 913-586-7965 is the number to be a part of the conversation. 586-7965. And already getting some people chiming in here. We are going to go through the head-to-head stats between Allen, Burrow, and Lamar. I've got Tom Brady's pulled up as well. If there's another name that you think we need to discuss in this, please text in or chime in, whichever. I feel like those are the three, and then adding Brady's just kind of an extra. I feel like that's enough, though, right?
I don't think you can add anybody else.
That's
in
it.
There, really?
I mean, no one else has really played him, and no one else is at this level.
Not Justin Herbert, especially. Come on now.
Okay. All right. Don't bring that back up.
How many times has he played him? A lot more than these guys.
Not in the playoffs.
And he's not
in the playoffs. You know, and that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at playoffs. Lamar's only got one game against him. We all saw it last year. 272 yards, completed only 54% of his passes.
Man.
One touchdown, one pick. He did
it. One to himself.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Had 8 carries for 54 yards, 2 first downs. So not great. Joe Burrow in the playoffs, 2 games. He's completed 62% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. and has, you know, surprisingly 9 carries for 55 yards and 6 first downs.
Joe Scheisty, man. Come on now.
Scampering around in the playoffs versus the Chiefs. So again, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks, 62% completion. Let's juxtapose that to Josh Allen in 3 games. So an extra game here for Joshy. 65% completion, 7 TDs, 1 pick, 30 carries, so 10 carries a game, 228 yards and 2 touchdowns, so about 75 yards on 10 carries every game versus the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Why did you phrase this question this way, Mac? It's so uncomfortable. It actually is.
What?
Some of the responses, man. Goodness.
From the 913, fear in my loins, nothing. We don't need to read that one.
No, we don't need to read
that one. You're right. We don't need to read that one. I almost got. From the 913, my loins and sphincter are only affected by postseason games at this point. They've been through too much. I get that. I get that. I'm talking playoffs. 816 with the most defiant answer right off the bat. It's Josh Allen. That's the only answer. I'm in agreement there. He scares me the most. He's played the best versus Patrick Mahomes. He's played the best versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think he's the second best quarterback in the league. Now tell us why it's Joe Burrow.
Hey, look, all right. Y'all need to put some respect on my mans here, all right?
And Joe is second. Joe's second.
Lamar Jackson is out of the question. He's 1-5 against Patrick Mahomes. He's also admitted that Mahomes is his kryptonite. End of question. End of story. Great. With Lamar Jackson. He ain't in it.
Totally good.
You shouldn't be worried about him.
Also,
if I am not the Bengals fan that a lot of people can't stand at the station, then the answer is Josh Allen, easily more than anybody else, because he's the guy that can be, for whatever reason, Superman. 13-second game, you can point to that, obviously, as an example. One of the things, and I think in the playoffs, obviously, it means something, but I want to look at the whole overarching picture of it with both Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. So Josh Allen, we know that those are the moments that he's actually been able to beat Patrick Mahomes. His completion percentage in those games is 58.5%. It hasn't been good. He hadn't turned the ball over as much, but it's not been very good. And I don't know what you take from that. I don't know kind of how he's passing the ball so poorly and they're still winning the games. He's 3-1 in the regular season against Mahomes. He's 0-3 in the playoffs because, to your point, you look up what happens in the playoffs, they've both been elite. 8 touchdowns and no picks for Mahomes, 7-1 for Josh Allen. Completion percentage is a little bit better for Josh Allen, but it's not as nearly as good as Mahomes. He's taken more sacks. They haven't been able to win the games when they matter most. So to me, it kind of looks like a little bit of a clutch factor. You know, he wins the games in the regular season, but when it matters most, Josh Allen has not been able to get it done. Again, the 13-second game, I give Josh credit for making the plays happen when it matters most, but
yeah,
Mahomes just found a way to get it done.
That's not his fault.
Because they wanted to play prevent defense afterwards. Anyways, Joe Burrow, on the other hand, again, yes, I can give you the example of he's the only quarterback other than Tom freaking Brady to have beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. For those who say that Joe Burrow has not done anything, oh, he's not nearly as good as Mahomes in the playoffs, yada, 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 their stats are not too far off of each other. Patrick Mahomes has been great in bigger moments where in the games that they've played in the playoffs, actually, Mahomes has had the opportunity to go down and do something more often than I think Joe Burrow has, even though they've only played twice. You look at Mahomes, he's had more opportunities to be that guy where you look at and say, oh, Mahomes is the one who's getting them down the field and is able to win the game. Mahomes is the one who's doing this. Statistically, the game where they lose and blow it, Andy Reid goes for it on right before halftime.
Right before halftime. They don't get it.
Momentum's completely flipped. Bengals come back and they win the game.
Yep.
Statistically, Joe Burrow's not as good in the playoffs as Patrick Mahomes, but they're not that far off of each other. In the regular season, Joe Burrow has a 73.6% completion percentage against the Chiefs.
In the regular season when the games don't matter?
In his career. It doesn't matter. In his career.
You're right. It doesn't matter.
Patrick Mahomes is 5 touchdowns to 2 picks, 69% completion percentage. Joe Burrow's been sacked 3% more often than Patrick Mahomes has. His rating is almost 30 points better and thrown a pick. In the regular season, Joe Burrow has thrown a couple picks in the playoffs. Again, when it matters, but he's the guy that's been able to win the game.
Hang the banner, man.
He's been able to win the game that matters most. So to me, what quarterback is scariest? Josh Allen has stunk when it matters most.
What?
In the playoffs.
What?
He hasn't won the game. For those who say that Joe Burrow is carried by the defense, it's not true.
No, but Josh Allen hasn't stunk.
He hasn't been good enough. Joe Burrow's been good enough.
Okay, so those are different things. His not stunk. You've actually, we just went through the stats, and he's been better statistically than Joe Burrow.
But he's not been good enough to win
You just said it wasn't his fault that he lost 13 seconds.
I know, but I think in the playoffs, when it matters most, we're judged more on like the legacy aspect of it. That's why Lamar Jackson, to me, again, I gave you the record against Mahomes, and that's it. Like, I don't even need to look at Lamar's stats. I'm sure Lamar's stats are great against Mahomes. They might be fine. But when it comes down most, when we're talking about playoff games and legacy, Josh Allen hasn't been able to beat Patrick Mahomes. And sometimes it really hasn't been his fault necessarily. But he hasn't been able to win the game.
That is true. That is true that Josh Allen hasn't really been able to win when it matters most. But if you look at Cincinnati's cast, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, I would kind of expect Joe Burrow to win more games and be a little bit more successful, because look at Buffalo's cast. Who'd they start the season with? Khalil Shakir and then a rookie in Keon Coleman?
Yeah.
And he's done nothing. Josh Allen has done nothing but ball out this year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Josh Allen. He really strikes fear in my loins.
I love that. Yes.
Hang on, let me give you some more. Okay. If we're talking about this year, Deegan's did not play in that Bengals Chiefs game. It was all Jamar Chase.
No. And that's fine. He just brought up this year in general,
again,
but that's fair.
There's no Joe Mixon. They didn't use Chase Brown at all as much as they should have in that game.
Yeah. It was week 2. They didn't realize that yet.
The defense, look, I'm not going to talk about the game too much. The Bengals did enough to win that football game. Joe Burrow was good enough to win that football game. They didn't win. And maybe this is the same argument you make for Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen's been good enough to win some of the games, but it hasn't happened yet. I just think that if there's one, Josh Allen makes more, he's prone to make more mistakes than Joe Burrow. So to me, I think a texter brings it up well. We make Josh from the 913, we make Josh Allen play some pretty crappy football and make big mistakes. We get in his head. He puts up numbers, but he tries to Superman it.
I don't know. Like, that is literally not true, though.
No, I think he puts up good numbers, but he makes mistake. If you were to say what quarterback is prone to make the mistake more often in games, just out of all those three quarterbacks we mentioned, Tom Brady included, it's Josh Allen.
That's fine,
because
maybe
he's the Brett Favre. He's the gunslinger.
But in 3 games in the playoffs, he's thrown 1 interception against Mahomes, and in 2 games in the playoffs, Joe Burrow's thrown 3. So I have somewhat of a body of work. I get what you're saying, but we have it. We don't have to hypothesize.
But mistakes are more than interceptions, though. Like, I mean, getting the ball to who you need to get the ball to, in terms of making the throw when you need to make the throw and not just missing the throw. Like, it might not be a pick, but it's not a good throw, or it's an incompletion.
I mean, me those plays, 913 and Drew, because I'm thinking about these plays. I'm thinking about last season. Perfect dime to Stephon Diggs down the sideline. Drop. That was the difference in that game. That's not Josh Allen. Josh Allen, 13 seconds. I mean, absolutely lights out. Maybe played better than Mahomes. Maybe. Really close. He was fantastic. They were the two best players on the earth that day. They still are. Lost that game.
You can nitpick, though.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Because Joe Burrow's not on defense. When Joseph Osai shoves Mahomes out of bounds late, lose the game. Dejon Anthony commits the penalty. That's not Joe Burrow.
But we can look at the mistakes. We can look at the mistakes. I mean, and you're right. More than interceptions, absolutely. I just think when I say play some really crappy football, like, I don't know how you look at these playoff games and think, wow, Josh Allen, yeah, this Chiefs defense. No, the Chiefs defense has not been able to do whatever they want with Josh Allen. He has their way with them. He destroys these games and he takes over. And because of Mahomes and Andy Reid's greatness, that's why they've been able to eke these games out. It's not because of Spags. Josh Allen's gotten the better of Spags. It's the one guy who's actually probably done the best against him. 913, I like this text. Allen and Burrow cause hole tightness. Their coaches cause looseness. So those games are back and forth in terms of my hole. I'm there.
That's facts, I think.
I'm there. If you give Harbaugh to Burrow or to Allen, just because I'm speaking into Lamar Jackson's coach, sorry, John Harbaugh. Yeah. So if you give John Harbaugh to one of those two guys, I would say it would be a little different.
I think Zach Taylor is underrated. I think he's disrespected more than he should be, but I don't think he makes decisions that are tough decisions in terms of providing the offense what they need to be the most successful, I guess, in a way. Where, I mean, look, Joe Burrow's never had a coordinator like Brian Daboll. Like, I know Brian Daboll's not that great of a head coach, but he's a really good coordinator.
Yeah, I think he's actually a decent.
Joe Burrow hasn't had that level of
Yeah.
of guy. And I know that Joe Burrow's got the talent around him, but like, I don't think you can, like, it's a two-way street. The year that the Bengals went to the Super Bowl and beat the Chiefs, Joe Burrow was sacked 95 times. He was sacked 90 times in a season, which is 20 more than anybody else. Anybody else. If there's one quarterback, again, I think it comes, I guess it might come back to wins and losses. Maybe that's my point. Lamar Jackson's 1-5 against Patrick Mahomes. End of discussion. When it comes up, he hasn't been good enough. He's really good. Lamar Jackson's great. I hate watching him as a Bengals fan because he bothers me because he's so good. He hasn't been good enough in the playoffs. So as a result, end of discussion. Josh Allen's been good enough to win you games in the regular season. He's been great. He's been good in the playoffs, but hasn't won you the game. Joe Burrow's won you the game in the playoffs that matters most. He played good enough.
He hasn't thrown a touchdown in the fourth quarter or overtime of a playoff game yet.
It doesn't matter to me that he hasn't done that.
To me, I look at it and you say, you know, Josh Allen and Burrow versus Mahomes. Let's look at Mahomes versus Josh Allen and Burrow. 8 touchdowns, 0 picks versus Josh Allen in the playoffs. 918 yards, 75% completion percentage. This guy is a monster. Patrick Mahomes, first or second greatest quarterback of all time, goes up another level. Absolutely terrifying. My loins are in fear against Joe Burrow. 5 touchdowns, 2 picks, 600 yards, 67% completion. Decent. Decent. But again, this is more down to earth. This is a more regular QB you're seeing. So I think that has to go into the discussion too. Allen's brought out the best in Mahomes, whereas for whatever reason, Lou Anarumo has gotten the best of Andy Reid and Mahomes in that offense. From the 913, why are we talking about a 4-win QB? From the 816, what's going on here? This isn't a discussion that I believe that was the same guy or same person who texted in. It's Josh Allen only answer. And I'm there with the 816. Obviously, though, it is a discussion, getting lots of texts that it could be Joe Burrow. It could be Josh Allen. Seems like it's not Lamar Jackson, which makes sense. Hasn't done anything to be in this discussion, but you got to bring it up because he is a top 4 or 5 quarterback.
I think Joe Burrow hasn't scared you because he's been sacked, because he's had an awful offensive line his whole career up until this year. He actually looked really good this year. The first time he's had a good offensive line in his life, he actually looked really good against the Chiefs. So I think the idea that, again, he didn't throw a touchdown or whatever, he's never had an offensive line that has given him the ability to do what he does best. And, you know, the same thing, again, now I don't want to make the comparison because I think it is a little bit unfair. But what happened when Patrick Mahomes had an offensive line that sucked? They lost 31-9 in the Super Bowl. The Bengals have an offensive line that when they went to the Super Bowl that has 3 dudes who are not in this league anymore, and they almost won the Super Bowl. They lost by 4 points. I don't get the hate on Joe Burrow because of, well, he hasn't thrown it.
No hate.
When there
no
is
hating.
The one game when Mahomes had an offensive line that was as bad as Joe Burrow's, they made the Super Bowl, but they got throttled in the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow did the exact same thing with a bad offensive line. He made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is not tit for tat. This is not.
I think the idea of Joe Burrow's stats being bad in certain moments is because he's been carrying a bad offensive line his whole career up until this season, where unfortunately the defense stinks.
I think also part of it is probably Joe Burrow's improved at not taking sacks, and I think you'd be able to mention that. That was a problem in his career early on as well.
He's been a lot better at getting. I mean, he's more mobile than what people think.
He's more mobile and he's better at reading.
He plays more Houdini plays than people actually think he does.
He's better at reading the defense. He's better at diagnosing free rushers. I mean, his first 2 years, that was a major problem. It's going to be the same thing with Caleb Williams. Yes, that offensive line is bad, but also if you get sacked 9 times, there's a good chance it's probably your quarterback's fault on some of those as well. Got to take a break. I love you guys being part of the discussion. 913-586-7965. Make sure you keep texting in. We are going to be talking a little bit of Royals, new way to watch this team, and plus maybe some new players on this team. Definitely some new players. Just it depends on who. We're going to talk about that as there are some rumors starting to circle around. You're listening to After Hours. James Howell, Drew Nixon, Mac Morey with you for the next hour and 10 minutes on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan from the Mission Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Studios.
Welcome back. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. With you for the next few minutes till we get to a new hour where we are packed, fully loaded with good content, including an out-of-left-field question starting at 8 o'clock. We'll talk some Kareem Hunt, plus reinforcements coming back to the Chiefs. We'll do a draft of the best all-time athletes. And Drew had a really good idea for a topic to end the show about bad blood in sports and how it just kind of gets you going. It's needed. So we'll get a lot of good stuff coming up. But right now, just for the next few minutes, there is some Royal stuff. There are odds for free agents being added. Right now, the Royals, according to this Royals review, the Royals are 10-1 to land Alex Bregman on betonline.ag, and then 18-1 to land Corbin Burns, 20-1 to land Willy Adames. So, I mean, is any of those names kind of spark your interest right off the bat?
I'm convinced. I think they should go get Jerickson Profar, my guy. One of my favorite players, actually.
Okay.
He's a utility guy. He can play outfield. He can play infield. He can move around. He's been more of an outfielder at this like tail end of his career, this part of his career. But, you know, he's a reliable bat. I think Bregman, I think a lot of people would, like the most. Alec Boehm makes some sense. We had a topic today on Cody and Gold. Would you trade Brady Singer straight up to get Alec Boehm?
Yeah,
and I was like, hey, you know, how badly do you want the offensive bat? Because I think, you know, we had Vern on our show, and Vern was like, I don't know if I'd trade Brady right now, but, you know, it's a part of the conversation. I think that, you know, if you get something that's useful out of it and you feel like you have a guy that can replace Brady in the rotation, then 100% go on ahead. But I think that's an interesting topic. Boehm would be great, but I think they do need to add another outfield bat. They've got some interest reportedly in Anthony Santander, which would be another power aspect to the offense. It makes them a lot more formidable, I think. They had the rotation last year to be in the playoffs and make that run. Offensively, they didn't quite have exactly what they needed, and it was lacking at times, and it showed. So I think if they had just, it might even be as simple as one bat that can provide a hit when you need it most and a reliable guy to be up there at the plate. And that guy maybe is Alec Boehm, who is coming off a really, really good season. Santander, obviously, we know how good he is. Jerickson Profar has been really solid his whole career, essentially. So I think those would be some of the guys that it would make sense for the Royals to be attacking in that regard. Plus, based off of last season, why not continue to try to just make the team a little bit better worry about the, you know, the pipeline of guys. Just, you know, get the rotation. Now, we know that Caglione is really damn good.
Yes.
He's not going to be in April.
It's exciting.
He might not be ready in August if they make that playoff run. I think as good as it sounds, why not add the bat? Because you need that consistency more on offense for next year.
Yeah, from the 913, agreeing with you right there. They need good, consistent hitters. Whoever they end up adding, end up getting, there will be a new way, possibly or not possibly, there will be a new way to watch this team. Diamond Sports Group announces multi-year commercial agreement with Amazon Prime Video. So basically, FanDuel Sports Network is going to be available via Prime Network. It's going to be an add-on subscription for customers living with each of the team's designated geographic areas. So there will be more details announced as this comes out. You will still have to pay for it, but Amazon Prime is just a million times better than anything Bally's was offering.
Oh, yeah. It makes it... So I think to Gold's point, as Gold is leaving after doing his That Betting Show.
Which one?
That Betting Show.
Gotcha. you say which one? That one. Yeah.
Touche. I wasn't connecting the dots.
It's Bob. It's Bob. It's just it's Fesco.
But yeah. So I you know it's a convenience thing. It's still going to cost you some money, but it's convenient to have it all on one app, to have it on your smart TV, to not have to go and watch it on your phone because you can't get it on your TV. It's on Prime. You might have to pay, I don't know how much it'll be, say $5.99 a month, which actually is a lot of people be willing to chuck up $5.99
a month
be able to watch the Royals games. Yes. I don't know what it was on Bally because I did not have it. But I think when you're thinking of convenience, this makes the most sense. This is the best case scenario in terms of people being able to watch the Royals play.
Had really, really good interaction from the text line all show. We love that. 913-586-7965. Would love you guys to keep being a part of it as we do have our out of left field question coming up next. What team would you least like to root for in all of sports? What franchise would you say, being a fan of them? Like, absolutely not. Anything else please be a part of it, because we've got Drew just in shambles arguing with different Chiefs fans about Joe Burrow. And I love this from the 816. Joe Burrow's ass. Thanks for texting in, guys. I really, really, really appreciate it. You're listening.
Y'all are haters, man. You hate the Chiefs just like Jamar Chase hates. You hate the Bengals just like Jamar Chase hates the Chiefs. It's disrespectful.
Absolutely. Keep on doing it, guys. 913-586-7965. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home.
It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Drew Nixon, Mac Maury, James Howell producing the show. Final hour that we're here with you. Some heated debate.
It's
some,
man.
Some loin talk as well. I mean, it's been all over the place.
Sphincters. You got it all tonight, man.
The way
man.
That you phrased that question, I just had to laugh. But no, we have another question for you. 913-586-7965. It's time for the out of left field question. And that question is, what team would you least like to root for in all of sports? You don't even have to have a team in that sport, I guess. If you hate that team that much, go ahead. If you don't even care for college football like that, but you know you don't like a certain team, like you don't like Notre Dame, say Notre Dame. We already got one text in from the 913. It says Yankees. I think that's probably going to be a common
one. That's going to be a good one. Yankees. F them. I agree, 913. Absolutely F them. Would not be my number one choice here, but absolutely. I will say, you know, this could also be, you know, you can go the hate route. You can also go the, oh my gosh, the Panthers. I just would never
want to. You don't even have to hate them. You just feel bad for
them. I don't want to subject myself to that. The Jets.
All right.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I think the Panthers would be a fair one just as of late. Maybe the Cowboys.
Ugh.
I don't know if it's a hate thing as much as I just wouldn't want to be a fan of the Cowboys.
I mean, yeah, if you're
that might be a good one.
If you're our age, I mean, you've never seen the Cowboys do anything of worth.
What team would you least like to root for? I feel like this is a tough one, actually, because there's a lot of teams. Because you can frame it from the hate angle. You can hate it from, or you can take it from the, I'm not cheering for them because they stink.
They're terrible. Exactly, yeah. Like Detroit would have been that team a few years ago. We do this like, oh, I can't root for the Lions. Yeah, that's terrible.
The Browns. I can never
Browns,
be a Browns
absolutely.
Fan, you know, for multiple reasons outside of just one.
James, is there a team for you that hops to mind?
Oh, yeah.
Great game, isn't it?
Look, I was born and raised in Norman, Oklahoma, so it's horns down.
Yes.
I can't stand
Texas. Off. Absolutely. Right. Some off. I completely agree.
You're going to offend the Texas fans if there's any that are here. Horns down, they get a little sensitive. You know?
Horns down. Absolutely. My dad went to Texas, but I grew up, I don't know why, I just chose to be a Texas A&M fan when I was 7 years old. I was like, you know what, Dad? Screw you. I'm rivaling you. So I've always hated Texas, and now obviously I went to Tennessee. Texas
so now
is
So now you hate Alabama.
Hate Alabama. That would be probably my number one answer.
You hate Georgia, too.
Denver
particularly
up
this
there.
Weekend.
Yep. Hate Georgia. Nico's still a chance to play, by the way.
All right. Good. Which is good news.
Which is good.
If it wasn't Nico, then they'd be in trouble.
Be a crap show. Exactly.
I think the game's going to be really good this weekend. From the 785, any team Aaron Rodgers plays for, not a fan of adult hipsters. It's fair.
Yeah, the Aaron Rodgers part, sure. The adult hipsters, I take some offense.
I think that there's a...
like to fancy myself hip from time to time.
I think we all kind of... Somebody from the 816. They don't like this team already. The Utah Hockey Club. They haven't even played 20 games yet. I don't even think hockey's up to 20 games yet. They haven't played 20 games. Still not sure they play hockey for the 816.
They don't have any tradition. They don't have any sort of... Yeah, screw them.
Someone said Ohio State football because they are insufferable. Look, I am born and raised. My dad is a Michigan fan, so technically I'm born and raised to hate Ohio State. I can't stand at times when they win because... They're good. It's like a respect thing. They're just always good. It's like, I don't want to see them win again. It's like the Cowboys in a way, but the Cowboys actually are bad. The Ohio State's just
Ohio
good.
State's really,
and they're
really
always good.
Good. They're always going to be good. Exactly.
Someone said any cricket team, cricket is the worst.
What? What is the hate for cricket?
I don't watch cricket like that, but dang. All right. You must like cricket. Somebody said the Eagles and the Bengals.
Okay.
I'm guessing the Eagles because of Nick Sirianni and the Bengals because they're the team that broke your heart.
Okay.
Recently.
Recently.
Hold on. I will say this. I'm also quoting
recently.
I'm quoting Bob Fesco when I say that.
What did he say?
You were there, Mac. The Bengals are the team that broke your heart. As to why gold
but
can't get over the Bengals.
Did he say recently?
No, he I had it recently. It's not, I had it recently to try to be nice.
Just saying, yeah, it's not.
I had it nice. I had it to try to be nice.
Heartbreak can last a while. Absolutely. No.
Somebody said the Detroit Pistons. I can agree with that because the Bad Boy Pistons going back to the 80s and the 90s. A lot of people I don't think liked the Pistons then. You didn't like the Pistons when they started to win all the time as well, and they were winning championships with Chauncey Billups,
yep,
and Tayshaun, yep, Prince and Richard Hamilton,
mm-hmm,
Big Ben Wallace.
I was a big Afro Michael Jordan fan, so I'd have to go with like,
oh, yeah, you
Utah
don't like
Jazz.
Oh, yeah, you Utah like, oh, Jazz.
As MJ fan, James, you don't like the Detroit Pistons. You,
nope,
don't like the Boston Celtics.
Nope.
You don't like
big
the
Celtics
Utah
guy.
Jazz.
Nope.
You don't like the Indiana Pacers. You, yep, don't like the New York Knicks.
Yeah, there's a lot. Basically the whole Eastern Conference.
Anybody that was trying to kill, exactly, Michael Jordan when he, yeah, when he drove to the lane.
Which was a lot of them.
And they were vicious back then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Lambeer, oh,
coming at you, throwing you down.
Oh, yeah, throwing the haymaker. Look. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. From the 785.
I'm with you too.
Never like Notre Dame. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind Notre Dame like basketball, I guess. Like, it's fine. It's particularly Notre Dame football, I think, that really bothers me, and I'm never going to root for Notre Dame. Fantastic history. The stadium's amazing. I'm sure Newt Rockne was a great dude back in the early 1900s. But look, Notre Dame is one team that I don't think anybody can get over. Nobody's going to get over them losing enough. Nobody's going to be tired of it.
Well, and it's
because they always find a way. So when they play a big game, they'll lose 42-0 like they did against Alabama.
Time.
They'll lose in the playoff. Yeah, as always.
Well, and they're pompous. They think they're better than you. Oh, we don't need a conference. We have our own thing. We back when television was black and white, we had our own network. It's like, yeah, cool. But now join a conference, man. Get with the times. Yeah, Notre Dame's absolutely a great answer.
Someone said Man U from the 816. All right. They have, I'm
ooh,
sure,
soccer.
I'm sure you've enjoyed the struggles lately that Man U have had, where they've got some of the most money in the entire world to spend and they can't win anything.
785 says Celtics. Always been a diehard Lakers fan. Boo! Lakers would be on mine.
Yeah, I was going to say you're about the opposite.
Yeah, I was
going to say. Who do you hate more, like the Lakers or, I don't know, like the Knicks? I guess we'll use the Knicks as that example.
Lakers, but that's because they've actually been good. The Knicks until this season. But, you know, we'll talk about hate in sports later, Drew. Knicks will come up. The Knicks will come up because I'm excited as a Celtics fan that they're good. Kind of like the Steelers. Like, I'm excited for those. There's the Steelers. There's the Knicks. There's certain teams that it's just kind of better when they're good. You love to hate them, and it kind of feels sad when they're not. Like the Raiders. I would love for the Raiders to at least be some sort of competent so I could actually hate them, but now it just feels like I'm kicking someone when they're down.
This one too, James. Any LeBron James team. As an MJ fan, I bet you don't care for LeBron James very much.
Look, I'm just going to say this very clearly.
Yeah.
MJ is the GOAT.
Absolutely.
And there's just
retweet.
No debate.
Retweet. Absolutely. Every time. It's no
question. I'm going to be honest. I used to be, it's MJ. I think there is a legit debate, I think, in terms of what you prefer, if it's MJ or LeBron. I still would say MJ, but I think LeBron is absolutely at the table. Like,
that's fine.
LeBron, you can make a case for LeBron, and I don't think anybody can say you're wrong, maybe, in that case.
No, I think I brought it up now. I think what that debate has become is what the Mahomes-Brady debate will become, where it's like, okay, there's no right answer, and both of those are pretty solid choices, whoever your GOAT is. Like, I'm not going to get mad if you say LeBron James is the GOAT. I would have 5 years ago. Times have changed. I think people get mad now at Mahomes in 5 years. I think Brady fans will have to say, all right, fine.
The thing that baffles me about the Tom Brady stuff is a lot of times people who say, like, LeBron is the best say that Tom Brady is the best. It's like you're contradicting your entire point, where if you're talking about best player you've ever seen play in terms of what they do for everybody else, I think if you're a LeBron fan, you should say that Mahomes is the GOAT. If you're an MJ guy, you should think that Tom Brady is the GOAT, because a lot of things, the only conversation that a lot of people bring up with MJ and Tom Brady now is the rings. That's it. If you talk about best that you've seen play, whether it's longevity, obviously Mahomes still has time to prove that. But in terms of longevity, in terms of ability to make everybody else better, in terms of actually playing in what you're seeing, I think Mahomes is better than Tom Brady ever was at throwing a football. I'm going to be honest. I'm already on the boat of Mahomes is the greatest quarterback ever on the face of the planet.
Love it.
I don't care about the rings. Rings are always an overrated thing because in team sports.
They are.
Especially football. Basketball, I think there's more of an argument for individuals regarding team stuff. But for football, the goat argument to me should not be around the rings as much. Somebody else said the University of Texas.
Love it.
They hate. They hit Penn State.
It's a good one.
Maybe for more reasons than others.
I like Penn State, but I get it. If I was a Big Ten guy.
I almost went to Penn State.
Oh, that would have been fun. A whiteout at Penn State. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. College football environments.
This says Texas A&M College Station is a misnomer. Horrible college town. Disagree. College Station's badass. Been there. Great party town. Super fun. It is the quintessential college town. There's nothing there. And then there's College Station. It is just college kids getting rowdy. So I disagree.
It's like Gainesville. It's like Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
It's like Athens, Georgia.
Exactly.
It's like Auburn. Yeah, because there's nothing like... Also, somebody did mention this.
Oh, yeah, I didn't catch you on this.
Rasheed Wallace.
I didn't catch that. Good catch, 660.
This is the thing. Rasheed Wallace didn't play for the Bad Boy Pistons, though. He played at the same time as Ben Wallace. Bill Laimbeer is the Bad Boy
Bill
Pistons.
Bill Laimbeer, yeah.
Isaiah Thomas is the Bad Boy Pistons.
Yes.
Dennis Rodman for a time. Played for the Pistons. Rasheed Wallace, that team.
Yep, Joe Dumars.
That team was nasty, man. Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton. I can't even the starting five right now still. And that they played like 20 years ago was when they were good.
Yep.
Yeah, that team was nasty. I forget who the coach was of those Pistons teams, actually. And I feel embarrassed to say that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that was. No offense to them. Oh. T. Billups, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace. I think college hate goes, ooh, and there's...
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
No way. Hold on. I actually can respect you for this because I think there's teams that Rick Carlisle was the coach of the Pistons.
For 01-03, and then they got Larry Brown for 03-05.
Oh, that's right. Larry Brown was the coach. Somebody said, I'm a KU fan and I hate KU fans. Dang.
Wow. Casualty, friendly fire.
That's nasty work right there. That was the out of left field question. When we come back, Kareem Hunt, we talked about him a little bit earlier. Does his usage concern you that he might get burnt out? Nate Taylor had some comments regarding the usage of Kareem Hunt and him potentially already have hit him already having hit that wall. We'll talk about that next. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC sports. Drew Nixon alongside Mac Morey, James Howell pushing the keys, producing the show for us. Kareem Hunt's usage came up earlier on in the show. We're going to address it a little bit more here. He's at 125 carries in just six games. He's averaging 20 carries a game, which in 1995 was like, you know what? That's about the average load for a running
back.
That's
normal. Yeah,
it's a regular starting running back load. In 2024, you almost are like, he's averaging 20 carries a game. That's very surprising when there's guys like a Jahmyr Gibbs who don't even get 20 carries in a game.
Not close.
Saquon Barkley. I don't even know if Saquon gets 20 carries on average.
Jalen Hurts, too busy hogging it.
He gets touches, but I think, you know, Kareem Hunt's usage, has he already hit a wall? Nate Taylor was asked about it. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. I want to play this cut, though, because Nate thinks that Kareem Hunt maybe has already hit that wall in regards to the ability of being able to keep on carrying on as he's been going so far.
Because he had the least amount of time to rest and get ready for this game. And that goes along with all the Chiefs, right? Their schedule is such a hodgepodge of nonsense when you look at it, because obviously they are the NFL's darling. They're going to be in every time zone this season, except for the international one, because they did that last year. So think about this from Kareem Hunt's standpoint. No training camp. They've been giving you the load. Hey man, our quarterback's ankles kind of jacked up. We're going to hand you the ball a ton in the second half. And oh, by the way, it's overtime. Guess what, my friend? You're getting the ball again. So for everything that Kareem Hunt has done, that game, and really you could start to quote-unquote rest your body at like midnight Tuesday morning, and all of a sudden you're playing Sunday at noon, and Denver's a good defense.
Yeah.
Despite them getting exposed by Baltimore last week, you could tell that they were like, okay, we're going to improve here. We're not going to let the Chiefs run the ball. We're going to make an emphasis on, you know, trying to game tackle Kareem Hunt, which I thought they did a very good job with. And obviously we saw in the game, Kareem Hunt, you know, I got a little nick, you know, in my lower body because he came out of the game in the first quarter came back into the game somewhere midway in the second quarter when things were getting even more chaotic because obviously you have the switch at left tackle. So, no, I think it's more to do with Kareem's body and just the burden they've put upon him.
I mean, I think like he's been very impressive, obviously. To just come off the couch and do what he's done has been ridiculously impressive. But also, in a way, they're kind of running him into the ground right now with no Isaiah Pacheco, and Carson Steele can only do so much. Are you worried at all that maybe he already is burnt out now, or he could eventually get burnt out by the amount of load that he has to take care of with no Isaiah Pacheco there to really split up the carries 50-50, if not maybe even take over, and Kareem can just slide into that backup role? I'd be a little worried.
Yeah.
Just for, because if he, it's not necessarily a burnt out thing. I think it's burnt out. Pacheco coming back, I think, is going to help that, and he'll be able to recover fine. It's him getting to the point where they need him so much to help win these games that he's going to turn an ankle, or the ankle's going to get worse, or he's going to get hit enough times where something actually happens where he's going to miss a couple weeks. That would be my worry, maybe a little bit more than him just getting burnt out. Because again, I'd be worried if Pacheco wasn't coming back.
That,
for sure.
Exactly. That's where
Pacheco
I was going.
Coming out, him getting tired thing, Mac, I don't know if you agree, but I'm not worried about him getting burnt out as much as I am with his usage. Him getting his legs are going to be so tired to the point where maybe he's not more prone to injury, but
there's not enough ice baths in the world to get Kareem Hunt through this whole season without Pacheco coming back. But as we talked about early in the show, Isaiah Pacheco, Charles Omenihu, and Juju Smith-Schuster all returned from the IR, all have opened that practice window, did return to practice today. Juju trending to... Yeah, all mad. Gosh, praise be. This has been a season of injuries for the Chiefs. So to get some reinforcements back, including a guy in a minute who hasn't played all season and has been imperative, truthfully, with the pass rush here in these past couple of seasons. So to get him back is massive. But Pacheco, again, not this week, but Juju will be, or at least is trending per Jordan Schultz, to be playing.
Expected to
be playing this week, trending in a positive direction there. And I think that does help Kareem Hunt. I know it's not Pacheco and he's not going to be getting carries. Juju's going to be out in the slot or out in the X or wherever it is, but it's going to help the passing game. And in turn, that'll help kind of lighten the load a little bit for Kareem Hunt. But I think as long as Pacheco's coming back, which it looks like, I mean, he's returned from the practice window, all those things. If you can get Pacheco back to some sort of 50-50 split in the next 3-4 weeks, yeah, I'm not worried about Kareem Hunt. He'll be fine.
Do you bring him back? Do you bring Pacheco back sooner if you're Andy Reid? Not that you need to, but because of the usage that Kareem Hunt has. Like, do you bring him in? Like, if he could go, but you're like, you know what? He could wait. And like, if he's scheduled to come back for the Panthers game, you know what? It's the Panthers. You don't have to come back yet, Pacheco. Or are you like, he needs to come back because we need to give Kareem Hunt some help?
If he's good to go, I think it's almost like, yeah, let's get him in, and it's the Panthers. That's kind of the way I think about it. Okay, perfect. It's the Panthers. It's a great way to start.
It's a good way to get back into the swing of things.
This is like a college plus team. You know what I mean? So let's go to Carolina. Let's get you 7 carries. Let's get you a catch. Let's get you a pass pro rep or two, and let's call it a day, and you'll be ready for Raider Week back at Arrowhead November 29th, which is I will be at that game. I believe that is that's Black Friday, so that'll be I'll be at that game as a fan. So I will be
as a fan again. You get
as a fan again. As a fan again.
I will be to go nuts and everything like that. which is a lot of fun.
I will. No, it'll be good. So I'm not worried about it. I don't know where everyone else is. 913-586-7965 to be a part of the conversation. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like Kareem Hunt can carry these next couple of weeks. I don't know about you, James. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not too terribly worried about it. He does seem to be slowing down a little bit. So, you know, with the schedule coming up, we've got the Bills. Obviously, I don't think that Pacheco is going to come back against the Bills. And then Carolina would be a good game to bring Pacheco back. But it would also be a game where it's like, okay, it's just Carolina. We don't need to rush you back either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
either
way. Two philosophies there.
Yeah, exactly. Either way, I'm with you. If he does come back, say, in the Carolina game, it's not going to be in the capacity of, like, having 20 carries, 25 carries.
Oh, no, yeah, of course
he's only going to get 5-6 carries, ease him back into it.
Absolutely.
And Carolina would be a perfect game for that.
I do think that maybe this game against Buffalo is like a precursor for, like, we're going to find out if he actually is burnt out in this game. Like, obviously, Denver did a great job, as Nate said, really made sure that they game tackled well. They didn't let him get too much yards after carry or contact, rather. Maybe this is the precursor where if Buffalo's defense is not as good as Denver's defense. Solid defense, but it's not as good as Denver's defense. If Kareem Hunt, again, say he has 20 carries again, but only has like 59 yards, yards per carry is lower, he's coming out, he's asking to come out a little bit more, maybe we look at that and say, okay, we got to get Pacheco back in, and that's your reasoning. I think we're going to learn a little bit more about a little bit of an off week. The week before last, obviously, he was great. How does he look this week against Buffalo? Maybe that's the precursor and how you determine whether he's burnt out or not. Again, as Max said, 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, your way to participate in the show. We want you to participate in this next one. We drafted the best current athletes of all time yesterday. We're going to draft the best athletes of all time. It's going to be me, Mac, and James. We're going to have three picks. We're going to take the three best athletes of all time in our mind. We're drafting those next. Don't go anywhere. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome to your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Shout out to CDOT. This is CDOT's intro music. Drafting best athletes of all time. Again, After Hours, 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, James Howell, 913-586-7965. On the text line, that is your way to participate. We want you to participate in this. We're drafting, again, the best athletes of all time. Mac, you said James is going to do the honors to kick things off.
Yeah, I think James should go first. Yeah, I think James
can go first.
All right,
James, you get the first overall pick.
Drew, you can go next, I'll go last.
Just like, okay.
Yeah, I'll go last tonight.
Thank you.
I'll go last tonight, of course. Absolutely.
All right, fellas, I'm going to pick somebody who played in the NHL, had 20 seasons in the NHL.
Oh, I love it.
Nicknamed the Great One, number 99, Wayne Gretzky.
Hey, shout out to you, James, because
first overall pick.
We were getting some text messages in that we should have included the NHL. Because we did not.
From yesterday, from our current athlete. Yes, that's true. So, yeah, way to start us off. We've kind of just nullified that from the get-go. First overall pick, the great one.
Dang, Wayne Gretzky.
Hey, I don't hate it.
Woo.
Interesting pick. Interesting pick overall. I think he belongs in the draft.
I like it. I'm going to say, I guess this one is almost too easy. I think in a way, Bo Jackson. I just think it's an easy pick.
Yeah, we had the Texan already from the 316.
Yes.
Bo knows. Yep. Nope. I mean, that's you can't argue it.
Up until he got the man, and again, we're not taking them as they are or as they were. Like, we're taking them at their peak.
Their peak.
This is
peak of their powers. Best all time athletes. I thought one of my two or three would be taken here. Both not. Good picks, though, for you guys. My draft room's excited. I'm going to go... This is the best athlete. So this is not the best player of their sport. This is the best athlete.
That's facts. Yep.
I'm going to go LeBron James. The best athlete
like it
ever. On year 20 now, 39 years old. He's still a top 15 player in the NBA.
I like it.
Every season, I'm just like, when is this guy going to go away? He never does. He continues to do it. He's evolutionized with the game of basketball in itself. He can score, he can play defense, he can pass, and of course he can jump through the gym still at almost 40 years old. I'm an MJ guy, but I'll give LeBron the nod here.
All right, James.
All right. Well, naturally, I wanted to just go MJ. As soon as you said LeBron James, I was I have to go MJ.
You technically can.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm going to go with another basketball player.
Okay.
Kobe Bean Bryant.
Ooh.
Hey, shout out to Kobe.
Love
R.I.P.
it. Love it. Absolutely. Now, just curious, we're taking the peak, but would you take, like, for the athleticism conversation, would you take 8 over 24, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the athlete, right? I mean, because those legs were built different when he was 8. 24,
exactly.
A little different. 24, it went down a little bit. All right, Drew.
I'm really...
So Wayne Gretzky for James, Kobe Bryant for James as well. Drew's got Bo Jackson, I got LeBron.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought MJ was going to be gone by this point.
I know, it's crazy.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's good. No, I was going to go LeBron and Michael if you didn't get him. So, yep. I mean,
Michael.
He's the
GOAT.
Who
are you taking?
Oh, shoot, guys. Oh, gosh, this is tough. I always get stressed out on these.
There's one athlete that I really hope that neither of you take.
Well,
next.
I think I you mentioned him last night, and I think I know who it is, and I'm not going to draft him.
You sure?
No, because it's honestly not my pick.
Okay.
If it was my pick, I would absolutely do it. I don't care. Yeah, screw you. But for me, I'm going to go Michael Phelps.
that's the one who
was it? Was it?
God, Michael Phelps.
Oh,
dude, he was...
I thought it was someone else. I'm sorry.
I'll be honest. Michael Phelps, to me, in terms of drafting, I know that I took Bo Jackson. Michael Phelps might be the greatest athlete of all time.
He really might. And I get him in the second round.
it was him or MJ, and I took MJ, and knowing that one of you was going to take him.
James, last pick of the last round, or first pick of the last round.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take Tiger Woods.
I like it. It was on my draft board.
All right.
I don't hate it. I think we should come back to that. Bookmark that. I want to discuss Tiger Woods on this list.
Okay, so for the 913, Carl Lewis, please. As great as Carl Lewis is, I'm going with another track athlete. Nobody is going to beat his 100 time. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Usain Bolt.
That's where I thought you were going.
I was good. Honestly, dead serious. If MJ was gone, I would have taken Michael Phelps, and then I would have taken Usain Bolt.
Yeah,
the Olympic athletes, you have to include them in the conversation. If Usain was taken, I was taking Simone Biles next, which I don't. That might be where you're going next.
I almost took Simone Biles instead of Tiger Woods.
I'm going with you. Give me Usain Bolt.
And you guys both mentioned her. I'm taking her. She's the GOAT gymnast. She's amazing. And I hope she has one more in her here in 4 years. We'll see if she's
crazy.
Got any gas left. Would be crazy.
She's 27
Biles.
Now.
She is. So she'd be at 30.
30, 31. Holy crap.
We'll see if she's still... It's part like, does she have the athletic capability anymore at that age? Does she have the motivation? Another 4 years of grueling and grinding and endless hours. Any names we missed, guys?
Hold up. Somebody said Bo Jackson, you morons. Settle down. He was my first pick. He's already been off the board.
So second overall pick from Drew.
Relax, please.
James team.
Settle down.
Yeah, come on. Whoa. James team, Wayne Gretzky, Kobe Bryant, Tiger Woods. Love that. Drew, Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, Usain Bolt. Solid. And then myself, LeBron, Michael Phelps, Simone Biles.
I think it's hard to go wrong. Somebody else mentions Pele.
Yeah.
I think Katie Ledecky is another really good one.
Yeah.
As well to mention.
Serena Williams.
Oh, yeah. Serena, obviously. Any of the tennis players. You can go Novak. You can go Roger Federer.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
No Tom Brady mentioned.
Tom Brady is not a top. Tom Brady might not be a top 50 athlete.
Agreed.
Dead serious.
Okay.
Agreed. I don't think he's athletic.
If we're talking best
athlete.
Best athletes. I think this is where, to our conversation, the Olympic sports deserve so much credit. When you look at this, like, if you say best athletes, you look, the number one athlete, according to ESPN's top 25 athletes of all time since 2000, I think that he'd have a run for the top five all time, is Michael Phelps. Serena Williams is a tennis player. You wouldn't think of a tennis player being in that conversation as the greatest athlete ever. Yeah, in that conversation. I think that's the Olympic sports should get a lot more respect. Somebody said, how is Deion Sanders not on? It's a good one.
That's a great one. That's a great
one. Deion Sanders is a really good athlete. I don't think the Olympic sport athletes are more, not necessarily, I just think that the athletes are up there.
From the 573.
This top six is ludicrous.
Tom Brady, this is ludicrous. And James, this is your pick. He's coming after you here. Tom Brady is more of an athlete than Tiger Woods will ever be.
You're out of your mind.
Whoa!
Out of your mind.
Whoa!
Tiger Woods was so... I mean, I'm not talking about Tiger Woods in his late career, but in his early career, his prime.
Yes.
He was so elite and so dominant. He just dominated the entire field, tournament after tournament. I got to put him up there.
I mean, we talked about who tightens your loins as far as quarterbacks going up against Mahomes. Is it Burrow? Mm-hmm. Is it Lamar Jackson? Talk about athletes putting fear in other athletes and other competitors. I mean, Tiger Woods is on a list maybe by himself category.
Oh, yeah. The guy dominated the sport of golf forever. Somebody mentioned Dan O'Brien, 1996 Olympics decathlete champ.
Fair.
Hey, it's for somebody who ran cross country in high school. Shout out to the long distance runners, because I think a lot of people don't understand the athleticism that it takes to be like just a track athlete in general. That's why track athletes to me are, when you're talking about, I think, best golfer, best basketball player, I think in a way, like, you need obviously athleticism to play that and be good, but in a way it's kind of like a craft.
Yeah.
If you're fast, you can't teach fast. Like, you can coach it a little bit, but really, if you're fast, you're fast. Noah Lyles could be in that conversation eventually. You talk about Usain Bolt, Sha'Carri Richardson, any of the other ones who have been fantastic. Carl Lewis, somebody mentioned on the text line. Like, if you're fast, you're fast. Like, I think that there's something to be said about track and field athletes deserving to be in that conversation more than other sports. I think that there's a need for athleticism, but you can be successful at football. Again, as for example, Tom Brady's not as athletic as Usain Bolt. He's not as athletic as Noah Lyles. He's not as athletic as Sha'Carri Richardson, as just run down the line of everybody else who's ran track and field in terms of like the Tom Brady's not as athletic of them. You don't have to be as athletic and still be successful at certain sports where in order to be successful at track, you have to be that athlete. Otherwise, you're not going to have success.
Of course. Well, yeah. And then we got 816 Tyreek up there somewhere, kind of adjacent to that track athlete.
I think that's
elite speed that we just haven't really
current
seen.
Current athletes, I think maybe that actually he deserves to be in that conversation.
Is 573, is golf an athletic sport? Now, okay. No.
Yes.
To the level that basketball and these other sports are?
Correct.
No, it is not. But that doesn't mean there aren't elite-level athletes. Just like basketball, you'd say, is an athletic, quote-unquote, athletic sport. The best player in basketball is not coming anywhere near this athletic list in Nikola Jokic. Or, for that matter, Luka Doncic. They aren't sniffing a current athlete list. And they're the best in their sports. So you don't need to be athletic to play really well in an athletic sport. And you don't need to not be athletic to be, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Tiger's an elite athlete. Doesn't matter if it's athletic sport or not.
Well, I'll tell you, if me and Tiger Woods went to the driving range, I'm going to drive it about 230, 250, and he's going to smash it to 350. I mean, there's some level of athleticism that comes into it.
And for the 573 text, golf, pool, and darts are all the same category, one motion, not full body. You don't realize how difficult professional golf, how much full body.
Well, you're gonna get Drew going.
Golf actually is.
You're gonna get Drew going
from
Be
the
careful.
Legs to the hips to the footwork.
Wow.
To the hip rotation to the torso rotation.
You're trolling, 573. That's a troll. Come on.
To the mental aspect of the sport as well.
Oh, it's not even close. Don't give that the time of day. That
Someone
is
said Michael,
asinine.
God. You know, I think this one, we might not be giving Michael Vick enough credit here in this conversation.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if he is. Look, and you know what? I think he belongs in that conversation where he's disrespected more. The text is Mike Vick ? Dude had wheels and a bazooka. That's facts. I think it is.
Dude was a dog for sure.
It's facts.
I just think his legacy is a little tarnished.
Oh, yeah, I think the legacy is tarnished, and maybe that's how you look at him differently. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Otani, end of discussion. He came up on our current athletes draft.
Yep, I selected Otani. I don't, if we're talking all time, Shohei Otani's not he's not top 10 athlete of all time.
Not yet. But I think he has the potential there. I think so, right? I think he does. A name that I had on my list, who I knew I wasn't going to draft, but I put him there just to discuss it because I think he belongs somewhere, maybe not top 10, maybe not even top 20, but he belongs somewhere there and deserves a mention, Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
One of the best athletes ever. Absolutely.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Someone said, example being John Daly. But again, it's not, golf's not a one motion. It looks like it's one motion, but there's five different things combining into one swing that looks full motion. There's a lot of people who have hitches in their swing. That's not one full motion.
Nikola Jokic, like we could just bring up unathletic players in their sports that are fantastic. Yep. Like it's not
John
an argument.
John Daly, Boo Weekly are kind of exceptions, but in a way they're also athletic for like their size. Like all offensive linemen, Joe Thomas, extremely athletic. He's a big dude, 300 whatever. He was three stacks and was he's very athletic. Like there's offensive linemen who run 4.9, 4.8, 40s that are faster than a lot of people can run themselves even at that weight. Those guys are athletes. Like John Daly, I think is as much of a, I think for a professional golf, you have to be an athlete to be in that conversation. Yeah, it looks a little bit odd when you're ripping darts and you're drinking Diet Cokes or whatever, but you have to be somewhat athletic to play a professional sport first and foremost. And two, you got to be really professional, really athletic to reach the top of your tier, if you will, from an athletic standpoint. I encourage you watch the Full Swing documentary because you'll understand the training that it takes
honestly.
Being a full athlete. I think also you look at motorsports as well, belong in that conversation. Shaq was awesome, but not athletic.
I'm glitching.
You're crazy.
I'm currently glitching. 816. What are you talking about?
Ronaldo,
what
Messi.
What's happening?
Somebody said Ronaldo, Messi, and Maradona. 100%
fair.
They're in the conversation.
Yep.
Tennis players, yes. I think Serena's in the conversation. Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, all of them in the conversation. Again, we only picked three.
Again, yeah.
If we're ranking our top 10 all time, like there's, I don't know if I'd put Kobe as a top 10 athlete all time. I think I might put Messi as a better athlete than that. I might put Serena Williams as a better athlete, I would say, than Kobe Bryant.
Did make James draft Wayne Gretzky, Kobe, Tiger Woods for James, Drew, Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, and Usain Bolt, and myself.
Yeah.
LeBron James, Michael Phelps, Simone Biles.
And this is the beauty of the list, though. And shout out to the Bink's favorite texter from the 913, Joey Chestnut. Not an athlete, sorry. Bink would love that text message right now. Shout out to Bink.
785 asking about UFC fighters.
Oh.
I think we have to include some of those guys. Maybe like a Conor McGregor.
McGregor, yeah. Like a John McGregor. Jones.
John Bones
thing.
Jones.
Yeah.
I think John Jones.
Who we'll see
it.
This weekend.
Justin Gaethje.
That's right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Someone said Roy Jones Jr. Yep, boxers. Look,
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Also, we don't have time because I know we got to take a break.
We do.
Joey Chestnut is an athlete, but that's okay.
No, we. Oh.
He's absolutely an athlete. No question in my mind.
Oh, my goodness.
That's okay.
When we come back. Bad blood. Mac and I are going to have some bad blood over this break, man. You know, Joey Chestnut text. Bad blood makes sports fun. And it goes, yes, Ja'Marr Chase is good for Kansas City sports. He is good for your Chiefs fandom. I'll tell you why next. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Wrapping up the show here on this Wednesday. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, James Howell producing the show for us. Before going into the break, bad blood, I said, makes sports fun. Ja'Marr Chase is a very important part of your Chiefs fandom, believe it or not. It's healthy as a fan to not like other teams. It's not fun. Ja'Marr Chase hates the Chiefs. I think a lot of Chiefs fans hate the Bengals, or evidently based on this text line, hate Joe Burrow as well. It's healthy for the both of us, for me, for Mac, for all you Chiefs fans out there, to not like that. Now, look, I am not referring to that as the main topic. Last night, if you did not watch, the Golden State Warriors were playing the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Cup. We talked about the NBA Cup a little bit. Klay Thompson, for the first time, playing against the Golden State Warriors.
The Splash Brothers at odds.
Yeah, and so going into the game, Klay Thompson was like, look, I'm just focused on this game. It's just another game. I haven't been in touch with those guys much. According to Draymond Green after the game, Steph Curry was ghosted by Klay Thompson. Hence the reason why Steph didn't say anything after the tribute video to Klay. During the game, Klay makes a shot. He's doing the Steph shimmy a little bit. Steph took that thing personal, and they might be buddies, but he took it personal and scored the last 12 points of that game. It was a tight one. Everybody went nuts. It was heartbreaking for Klay in his return.
Stared him down,
Steph,
too.
Steph was staring him down. Steph, after the game, was going to the camera and screaming right in front of the camera, looking dead at the camera shot. I thought there's not necessarily bad blood there, but I think those moments are what make sports enjoyable. They make sports fun. When you know it's rivals going at it, you might not even have any skin in the game. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's more entertaining. It gets us to watch the game's a little bit more. For all you people who hate LeBron James, LeBron James being in the finals actually is a good thing for the NBA. Loves it because they know that people love LeBron James and they hate LeBron James.
Either way, you want to watch.
And it's a big win for the league because if LeBron loses, you feel great. If LeBron wins, you feel terrible, but the other people feel great. And it creates that conversation and that dialogue where we go back and forth. Like, it's really good.
Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffs, another perfect example. I mean, I am so against them. I dislike Deion. I hate Prime. I hate the whole thing. And then you got guys like Dusty, who's all in, who loves it. It kind of brings you together either way. I mean, if Ja'Marr Chase wasn't talking trash and talking smack and talking stupid bullspit every game,
fun.
Wouldn't be as fun.
If Mike Hilton didn't call it Burrowhead, wouldn't be as fun.
Oh man, it's fun now.
It wouldn't be as fun. And Chiefs fans, y'all are enjoying it now.
Hell yeah,
I get it.
Hell yeah. I hope you guys make the playoffs just so the Chiefs get it to beat you again. That's what I want.
Mm. It's healthy trash talk. It's healthy trash talk in any sport. Everybody says they hate the Yankees. When the Royals played the Yankees, nobody wanted. Everybody was rooting for the Royals in that game.
How much did you love getting to boo Jazz Chisholm every time he walked up to the plate, man? That was awesome.
Those moments are important for sports, and they make sports a lot of fun. We know when you get that trash talk, you obviously, I think, respect the guys that trash talk a little bit because they got the guts to say the stuff anyways. And sometimes they back it up, sometimes they don't, and they learn that lesson. But it's fun as sports fans and as what we do, you know, to make it a whole lot more fun in our enjoyment of sports. It makes it more fun when there's bad blood a little bit, or there's moments where guys are trash talking. That's where I think, look, the fighting thing that Joe Mazzulla wants in the NBA, that's stupid. We don't need fighting. But let them bump each other a little bit. Let them get in each other's faces. Aggressive. It's all right. Like, there's a limit.
Joe's a nut. I love Joe.
There is a limit. But you got to also, like, it's healthy to have that hate and to have that fire and to have that, you know, competitive fervor.
And there's certain franchises, Knicks, Steelers, you know what? You love them, you hate them, you're glad when they're good. It makes sports more entertaining.
That's going to do it for us. For James, for Mac, I'm Drew. It's a blast, Mac, as always. We're going to be back next week. I don't remember what day exactly we're going to be back, but we did a two-parter.
I don't either. But we will be here, and we will have fun.
We're also going to have fun, as we always do. It's been After Hours. You have a good rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you when we see you. Till then, peace.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.